Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk Podcast. But tonight, Friday Night Fire, for the last couple weeks, actually for the whole season, it seemed like, it's been the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. Tonight, just me and my brother Carl. Our brother Jermaine, he couldn't make it tonight, but that's okay. We still going to lace you with this information to help you win your Week 11 game. But let me holler at my bro. What's going on, Carl, man? How you doing tonight?
What's up? What's up, brother? Man, I'm doing well, bro. Ready to hold this break down for Maine.
Yeah, man. That's what's up, man. Hey, but look, like I do every week, me and my two brothers, man, we've been playing fantasy football for years. We don't consider ourselves experts, but we do know enough about winning championships that we can help you win your league. Tonight we'll be reviewing last night's game between the Seahawks and the Cardinals, which actually was kind of a snoozer. Thought it would have been a high-scoring event, but it wasn't. But that's okay. We still going to talk about it from a fantasy perspective. And then we're going to give you guys what players should be in your lineup and what players should be on your bench this week. But and then, time permitting, we'll give you a sleeper or two. But in the infamous words of MC Hammer, bro, let's get it started. And every week we always start with some real football talk. This week we're going to talk about Drew Brees being on the injury reserve list, going to definitely miss the next three games. And how does this affect the Saints, bro? How you feel about Brees' injury and how it affect the Saints? And they said Taysom Hill is going to start Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that came out today. All week, you know, I was having some jokes with some New Orleans fans that I know. And I told them, man, y'all might as well get your crab legs ready because he's going to throw you two picks and a couple of crabs to go with it. But now they're starting Taysom. You know, I'm a little more concerned because of what he brings to the table in his, you know, jack-of-all-trades position. I mean, even in some fantasy forms, they got him sitting at quarterback and possibly at a tight end. So you can start him as a tight end, but he's going to get you quarterback points. You know, and I don't know if they can fix that in time. So if you got Taysom Hill, you might be able to. I'm going a little far on myself, but with Drew Brees hurt, I think that if Taysom doesn't do what they think he can do since they made him as a starter, they could be a little in trouble. They got 2-game lead on the Bucks in the division because they swept us, but they can easily drop 2 if Brees is out for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, Man, I don't know what kind of signal this says about Jameis, bro. Because Jameis came in last week to finish up the game. And then this week, he's relegated to backup behind Taysom Hill. But I think maybe last week, Jameis was the backup because Taysom probably didn't get any snaps at quarterback. He probably got all the snaps doing his gadget stuff. So maybe Jameis was a little bit more prepared for the quarterback role. But at the same time, Taysom been there 3-4 years, and he should know the system. So, yeah, man, they're going to have to fix that in fantasy, man. I saw that come out earlier this week that they had him listed as tight end. And basically, if you have him playing quarterback, if you have, let's say, you got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, and you pick Taysom Hill up as your tight end, basically you getting 2 quarterback points, depending on what he do.
Mm-hmm.
So, they might have to fix that, man, because that ain't fair. That ain't fair as far as scoring wise. But let's get into it far as a fantasy perspective. Do you see anybody numbers going up as far as like their offensive weapons numbers going up, or do you see any of their star fantasy players being hurt by Taysom being that quarterback?
Yeah, I think you'll still get a heavy dose of AK-41, even if Taysom in there. You know, that won't change no matter who's that quarterback, to be honest with you. I think you know, I reserve judgment for wide receiver production. I need to see how he does this week. Because if he does well this week, then I'd be more prepared. Because, you know, we're dealing with a small sample size of him being at the quarterback position right now, one or two times a game, you know, if that. And most of the time it's a running play. I need to see him throw the ball a couple times, you know.
Actually, man, I think they're probably gonna I think they're gonna open it up, man, because Taysom can do a lot more stuff than Drew Brees can, and he can throw the ball down the field. So they might open it up, man, you know, as far as the playbook. I think Sean Payton will probably be conservative to see what they can get away with in the first half. But he might open it up in the second half, man, probably let Taysom throw it a little bit, you know, depending on what the score of the game is, how the game flow is going. But I'm a little excited, man. That's definitely – I think they play the same time slot as my boys. But I'll probably be switching back and forth to see how he looked and how he playing. But, you know, man, yeah. this is interesting times for the Saints. And I'm kind of disappointed that my man Jameis ain't getting to get out there and showcase, you know, his skills. But at the same time, you know, Taysom Hill is getting paid $16 million.
Yeah, but, you know, back to what you're saying about, you know, them allowing him to throw the ball a little bit, I need to see him read some defenses first. I think Peyton's going to give him a couple of dump offs, you know, maybe a couple of out routes, because he got a strong arm. You know that much. But as far as letting him cut it loose, I don't know. I mean, you know, yeah, he played the Falcons, but their secondary do have some ball hawks right there.
Yeah, Raheem do have them boys playing good right now. I think they 3-1 under Raheem. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting game, man. Speaking of interesting games, last night we had Seattle versus Arizona. We had Kyler Murray versus Russell Wilson. We had DK Metcalf versus Pat Peterson. And, you know, we had D-Hop versus that Seattle secondary. And this game did not live up to the billing, in my opinion, bro. I thought it would have been everybody you had in fantasy, you probably wanted to start last night and probably be looking to get some super-duper points out on. But basically, it was kind of it disappointed.
It was kind of dull. It was kind of dull. I, you know, I'm sitting, you know, obviously I'm watching the game because I know we're going to talk about it, you know, tonight. And I'm sitting here like, you know, fiddling with my phone playing chess. Like, this is not the game I thought I signed up to watch. I would look for some excitement. You know, it was, I said, I was disappointed with the session of the almost fight. I was ready for that. But, yeah, you know, I was looking forward to payback, you know, for the L they took earlier this season. So I see, you know, they avenged that. But offensively, Seattle has some problems, man. They really do. They got Carlos Hyde back in on the shelf to run a little bit last night, but they missed Carson bad. Yeah, they missed him, bro, because that offense is not the same since he's been gone.
Yeah, man, and actually, I think what Pete Carroll did as far as real football is he wanted to be balanced last night. You see, they ran the ball for like 160 yards. Carlos had like 79 yards and a touchdown. I want to say he had like three catches for like 30 more yards, something like that. But I think Pete Carroll is like, yeah, this letting Russell cook thing, it's a good idea, but we got to get back to running the ball. And Arizona, once Kyler hurt his shoulder, it was like, man, they just look like a whole different team. So only person I played off of Arizona last night that's on my team is D-Hop. I had Kenyon Drake on like three of my teams. I didn't even play him. even though he had like a solid game for fantasy wise, he had a couple catches on like 20 some yards. He had a touchdown, but yeah, man, it was just one of those games that was like, man, I just thought I was gonna get more.
Yeah, man, I thought Russell was gonna eat. I started him in I know at least two leagues. I mean, I assumed he was gonna eat at least, especially with no running game. Well, I thought it was gonna be no running game really. And Kyler Murray, man, hey, he's like a little joystick out there, bro. And so he's been carrying me in one league. I mean, literally, he's carrying me. And this might be the first week that he didn't really live up to my expectations as far as what he normally provides, especially on the ground. He only had 5 attempts, 15 yards. And I'm looking more for him to get about 8 or about 50, you know? And he didn't score. And I like to get that rushing touchdown, straight points for him, and not feed maybe my opponent.
And actually, you can tell that he had an off game by, you could just look at the numbers. Larry Fitzgerald had 8 catches in the slot for 62 yards, so
yeah,
he wasn't pushing the ball down the field like he normally does. So actually, I had Fitz as a sneaky start last week. But, you know, maybe I was 1 week off because he definitely had a solid game last night, you know, 8 receptions, 62 yards, especially in a PPR league. That's like 14 points right there. So, you know, but the person I was worried about last night, though, I have him in a league, and I think in one league, is DK Metcalf, man. Man, he has super upside, but God, do he be dropping the ball, bro?
Yeah.
Man, that touchdown was right in his face, dog.
Yeah, he's not. It was that touchdown, but then he also dropped an important first down. He tried to take off before he actually secured the ball, and that hurt them on that drive. But DK Metcalf, man, you know, we got to remember that he's still fine tuning his craft. He got more than measurable. Let me just say that. But he's still fine tuning, so we can't expect him to go out there and be, you know, DeAndre Hopkins or Larry Fitzgerald as far as their skill level catching the ball. But you know, as far as him and Tyler Lockett, you know, that's the one thing about the Seahawks is it's impossible to know who to start. If you got one or the other, you're going to start Metcalf. And if you got Lockett, you're going to start Lockett, you know, because you don't know which one of them is going to eat from week to week, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, there's clearly no real number one in Seattle.
Yeah. It's whoever's open going to get the ball. And I'm just looking at the targets. Lockett had 9 targets, caught all 9 of his. DK had 5 targets. He caught 3 of them. One on, and like you said, there was 2 big misses because he dropped the first down and then he dropped the touchdown. So he could have had a big night last night. He could have had 2 touchdowns. And I think 2 touchdowns, that would have been bumped up to about, I think that's about 56 yards. You know, that would have been 4 for 56 and 2 touchdowns. So that's a solid 17 points right there. So, he still had a solid game. Still gave you like 10 points, you know, and standard scoring. Then with receptions, you know, he had 13 points. So, you know, he still gave you a solid outing. But last week, man, week 10, you know, Drew Brees got hurt. Giants upset, quote unquote, upset the Eagles. But give me a move that you made last week that cost you that gave you the L, or put that that gave you the dub, or gave you the L.
Yeah, the move I failed to make. I didn't start Brandon Ayuk. I can't even say the guy's name. For San Fran against New Orleans, and blow my mind. Dude had 14 targets. I was pissed off.
I picked him up
about 3-4 weeks ago. And he just been sitting on my bench, and I think I might have played him during a bye week one time, and he did great. But I put him on the bench after that. I said, "Oh man, you held it down and did your job." And then last week, I could have started him, and I should have. And it ended up costing me big time. I took a L last week, and his 13 points and 14 targets, sat on the bench, even though he only had 7 catches. But all I care about is the target, because we can fix it. He can catch the ball. He is a professional. But I was a little pissed off about that at myself when I realized he's just sitting on my bench, looking at me like I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Which league was that?
Is that league we in together? Let me see.
Because you won in the VA Rebels League. You beat the number one team in there, and that one.
Yeah, bro. Hey, I was focused on that dude, too. He had all my attention. I was focused. I was saying, look, bro, I'm so disappointed in that league. You wouldn't even believe. I'm like, man, these boys got me looking like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm every week I start the wrong dog on player, bro. It's crazy.
While you finding that last week, the move I made was actually a no-brainer because we talked about it on the show Friday. Is and one of the leagues we in together, our Titties and Touchdown League, I started both Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I started both of them. I had Chubb as my number one, RB1, and Hunt as my RB2. And I ended up blowing Swill out. But at the same time, I was thinking about subbing Hunt out, and I was going to put somebody else in there. But then I was like, nah, man, let me – then when I saw the weather, I was like, yeah, they ain't going to let Baker throw it. So I was like, let me just put both of them in, man. And actually, glad I won that game, because I would have been mad that Chubb ran out of bounds. Sometimes real football gets in the way of fantasy football, so you know how that go. But, I started both Chubb and Hunt last week. Normally that's not something you typically do. But being that both of them going to get their touches, I think I've been doing that basically all year. I've been having Chubb as my RB1, and then I have Hunt probably as my flex. But that's the move that I made last week. I mean, even though it's kind of like a no-brainer, But in that VA Rebels League, I played the guy that won the Super Bowl last year for Ben Fruit. And Sunday morning, I saw Wayne Gallman on the waiver wire. I was like, yo, I'm going to start. I picked him up and I started him. And he scored 2 touchdowns. He had a solid game for me. And he pulled that game. He actually pulled the game out for me. Because the person I was going to put in only scored maybe about 4 points, and he had a big game. So, hey, good looking out, Wayne Gallman. Hey, and in that league, you see him in second, right?
Hey, let me look at that. Man, that's just, I started off on 5. Then I just went down here. Yeah, I see you number one seed in that division.
Yeah, buddy, bro. Actually, this week.
I'm not number one dude. It comes for number two, I guess. But you know what? I'm paying attention to though. I'm looking here. The point score for the league, bro. Everybody's like right there.
Yeah, everybody right there.
Everybody's right there. Which means, in a given week, somebody can win. It's just all about, it's really, in this league, it's really about putting the right player in at the right doggone time. The matchups are really an issue with this particular league. And that's good, because that means most people are our focus. You know, I mean, we got the weakest division, to be honest with you. Everybody, we got 3-3-7 teams and stuff, but I don't know. But yeah, the lead that I had, Brandon's on the bench, man, that was in the crew league.
Okay, I'm sticking it up, and that, man, I'm just sticking it up so bad, really.
Woo! Shit, bro. What you mean?
Man.
You right in front of me.
Man, boy, I'm sticking it up, and that's deep. Man.
Yeah, this is my worst.
But that's okay.
This is my worst year in this league.
But, you know, we still got a lot of football to play.
All I say is don't let me in. That's all I say.
Yes, sir. Hey, you just got to get there. Once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. But look, man, let's get to the meat and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, give me a quarterback you're looking at sitting this week.
I'm looking at Carson Wentz, bro. Back-to-back weeks, single digit points. That ain't cutting it, bro. Put him on the bench. You playing the Browns? The Browns are playing strong defense, and they at Cleveland. Even though you know Philly weather is a little tough too, but you know I'm more so focused on he's not producing at the quarterback position, and they really don't have an option behind him to provide points at that position. 9 fantasy points on the NFL league for. Back-to-back weeks, you put that dude on the bench. He damn near about to get cut if he on your team.
Actually, man, that's funny because I had Carson Wentz also. So we'll definitely be putting him on our Twitter email tonight after the show. But I'm going with Tua, man. Tua, he's been winning games. But if you look at his numbers not good fantasy numbers. You know, it's like, I think last week he threw 2 touchdowns, 100 and some yards. It's like, okay, are you winning games? But as far as you winning me my fantasy games, it's really not happening. I mean, this is one of the times where real football and fantasy football clash. Because if you're a Dolphins fan, you loving Tua. But if you're a fantasy fan, you ain't loving his production because of what he's giving you, especially at the quarterback position. When you're looking for your quarterback to at least give you between 20 to 25 points every week, and he's giving you right between 18 and 14. So, you know, two touchdowns is what, 12, then 160 yards. What's that, 3, that's 15, plus another 4, that's 19 points. I just want more from my quarterback, especially in the yardage department. So, he might go off this week against Denver, but Denver's defense is actually playing pretty good. Their offense is just terrible, and Locke is going to turn the ball over, so Tua will get some additional possessions. But I'm just not in love with his numbers, but I'm glad that he's winning games. Let's move to the running back position, bro. Give me a running back you're looking at sitting.
I'm sitting Melvin Gordon against them same Dolphins, bro. I just don't feel like Denver could run the ball, even with Philip Lindsay. I mean, he's gonna get his time too because, like I said, the backfield is so ridiculous that he's gonna get plenty of time to run the ball, and they just not doing it. And the Dolphins defense, you know, ain't no real slouch as far as running the ball. One defense, should I say. So I'm sitting Melvin Gordon and I'm sitting Philip Lindsay.
That's funny because I got Lindsay like in one of my flex positions, so I'm going to have to go, being that you said that, I might have to go elsewhere. I had James Robinson going against Pittsburgh, which is basically, you know, James Robinson has had an outstanding season, and everybody know Pittsburgh defense is very solid. But I'm going to go with my second one, man. I'm going with Todd Gurley versus New Orleans, man. I know Todd is getting a lot of touches as far as rushing attempts, but it's not leading to a lot of yards. But he is getting the goal line touches. But I think New Orleans defense, now that Drew Brees is hurt, they're going to do what they did last year. Last year when Brees got hurt, you saw the defense turn it up a notch. And I think starting Sunday, you can see the Saints' defense play with their hair on fire. They're going to have to stop the run game with the front four and then use the secondary, the linebackers and the secondary to stop Atlanta's passing attack, which I think the Saints can be had in the passing game, especially going against Atlanta's passing game, because Atlanta is explosive through the air. You got Ridley. I think Ridley coming back this week. Of course, you got Julio. You got the other cat, Russell Gage. And then you got Hayden Hurst. So, you know, they do have – Atlanta can be explosive in the air game. So that's why I think the Saints are going to concentrate on stopping Todd Gurley, although he will have anywhere between 14 and 20 carries. But I think it'll be minimal yards, and he'll just be touchdown dependent this week against the Saints.
Yeah, I agree with that. My boys haven't given up a touchdown to a running back in a month. I said it too.
All right. Give me a wide receiver, bro. You looking at that's definitely going to be on the pine this week.
My wide receiver this week hitting the bench is what I got now. I got two. I'm going with Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs going against the Chiefs. He bit off on the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. And I'm literally bitching him strictly off of revenge. I'm sure the Chiefs have watched him this week and watched this dude with just two double catches just blast him for 118 yards, explosive yards. I don't think they're going to let him do much of anything this week.
Who was the other one you had written down? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, Corey Davis against the Ravens.
Okay.
I like the
Henry Ruggs
better.
Yeah, man, I actually got T.Y. Hilton going against Green Bay. Actually, I'm going to start beating T.Y. up. I think I'd have had him up here maybe about three or four times. But I think this will be my last week beating him up. He's going against Jair Alexander. He's going against Green Bay. He'll probably be matched up against Jair Alexander. And him and Phillip Rivers has no – rapport, no connection. So if you got T.Y. Hilton, you probably just holding on, hoping for one big game, or you waiting on them to play Jacksonville and Houston. He normally owns Houston, and Jacksonville defense isn't the best, so you probably holding on for those two games. But if you holding on for two games, basically shouldn't be on your team because that's just crazy managing. You should be looking for to have somebody on your team you could put in every week. So I will probably T.Y. Hilton is my sit this week, and then I'm going to hurt my bro feelings. I actually got Scotty Miller as a sit this week because I think this game is going to be about Gronk, A.B., and Godwin because I think Ramsey is going to be on Evans. And for some strange reason, Evans just doesn't compete when he's going against top-ranked cornerbacks. And I'm going to let my brother speak on that after I get done. But I probably will sit Scotty Miller this week. I think A.B. Gronk and Godwin are going to be probably the top targets in the Monday night game. So, damn, Scotty, man, you do got a solid season going. But we'll look at probably getting you on the lineup maybe the next week. But, bro, I'm going to run this to you because you're the resident Tampa Bay fan. What is it with Mike Evans going against top-ranked, top-notch corners, man, where he just don't seem to get off? Or is it the plan not to throw him the ball, you think?
You know, I think that is a viewpoint from – I want to say this year. In the Jameis years, I think the ball was forced more to Evans than it is this year. And even last year, the emergence of Godwin has helped take some pressure off of Evans. And the thing about in our division, what you got? You got what's your boy – in New Orleans. What's his name?
Lattimore.
I mean, he normally eat Lattimore for breakfast. And, you know, I think in that division, he's probably the best cornerback that he plays against. But so when he ventures out, he has his moment. But I think a lot of times, you know, we got to remember he's being double covered, you know, because of his speed and his height. He got safety over the top. And so with this year, I think with Brady, he's not throwing the ball. He's not throwing it to him enough to me. I think we talked about this last week. He's not getting the opportunities that he should. He should at least get 10 targets, at least 10 double or 15 targets a week. And if he's going to throw the ball that much, you know, he got to get the lion's share. He's our clear number one wide receiver, and he's not getting opportunities even against the top tier, cornerback. So I think it's 45 like to say, I think that's fake news, bro. I think that's fake news on that.
Okay. Because I know one thing that Brady not going to do that Jameis would do is he not going to throw a 50-50 ball. He's just not going to do that. Whereas Jameis would give Mike, you know, opportunities at 50-50 balls. But I do think Brady, Evans has become the number one red zone target. You know, it's like every week he's going to get you that 2-yard score. Or that 5-yard touchdown pass, because Brady is going to throw it up to him and let him make a play in the end zone, but you won't throw it up to him during the drive, which is kind of weird to me, but I get it. All right, bro, moving on. Give me a tight end that you're looking to sit this week.
Oh, man, I hate to do this because this used to be my guy, you know, 3-4 years ago, and that's Kyle Rudolph, man. I don't know if it's age and caught up to him or, you know, the emergence of Cook, which should help him, you would think. But it seems like last two seasons, he's just going downhill. And he's not getting the opportunity. Now, and it doesn't matter if he's playing the Cowboys and stuff. But he's just not getting it. I mean, he's going to catch the ball. Last week he had 4 or 5 targets, 4 catches. But for a tight end of his stature, you expect his targets to be upwards of maybe up to maybe 7 to 10. But maybe, you know, because the emergence of Justin Jefferson, he's losing targets. And that's the way I see it.
All right, bro. We got a caller. Let's see what we got on the line.
Yeah, this is
Boar. Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I was wondering if any of you guys ever fucked a fat white chick.
Man, get the fuck off here, man, dumbass. Man, boy, people stupid. Actually, I was going to say something, but I got to keep it confessed. But we're going to get back into it. I'm going to go with this guy, man. He definitely disappeared. And I actually cut him about 2 weeks ago. Man, Robert Tonyan, man. He was having a solid year for Green Bay. And then, man, it's like, man, he just has disappeared, bro. I guess since Devontae been back, you know, since Devontae been back, his targets have went down. He hasn't scored a touchdown. And with Lazard coming back this week, if you got Tonyan on your team, I would look elsewhere. I would probably look at maybe, Logan Thomas is probably picked up in a lot of leagues. I would probably look at maybe streaming a tight end. Maybe this week take Dalton Schultz going against Minnesota or, you know. But Tonyan just has been very ineffective since Devontae has been back. And normally with Aaron Rodgers, he normally likes throwing the ball to the tight end in the seams. But, man, if you got Tonyan, go ahead and put him on the bench going against a very solid Indianapolis defense. I think if Green Bay going to get it done through the air, it's going to be Devontae Adams eating up Xavier Rhodes once again like he used to do when he was in Minnesota. So, you know, yeah, man, Tanya, yeah, you're going to be on the bench this week, bro. All right, man. Let's get to the good part of the show since we didn't get y'all the negatives. Give me a quarterback you looking at starting this week, bro.
Man, I'm starting the possible offensive rookie of the year, Justin Herbert against the Jets, bro. I think this will be an opportunity for him to pad his numbers just on his way to that trophy. The Jets are, you know, on 9. I expect him to be on 10. And fantasy points wise, he averaged 20 points since he started. And all I care about is my team wins, not his team wins. So long as he gets me 20 points every week, he can start for me. I don't care if Charlie lose or not.
Yeah, man. Actually, I had Justin Herbert down also. But I'm going with Kirk Cousins, man. And actually, I was going to bring this up during our segment about Drew Brees. If you got Drew Brees, man, look at Kirk Cousins as probably a potential pickup for Brees, because Kirk Cousins has a very favorable matchups during this stretch that Brees is going to be out starting this week going against Dallas defense. And then I want to say they actually, I ain't even guess. I'm just going to pull it up. Kirk Cousins, let's go to game log. This week they have Dallas. Next week they have Carolina. And then they have Jacksonville. So I would look at probably filling in Cousins as your Drew Brees replacement. This week they play Dallas. Dallas is going to sell out to start Dalvin Cook, which is going to open up the Minnesota bootleg game, play-action game. I look for Thielen and Jefferson to have solid games. And maybe your boy Kyle Rudolph, who you said to sit, might be a sneaky touchdown-dependent guy. But, yeah, I will go with Kirk Cousins this week playing against Dallas. Give me a running back, bro.
Hey, hold on, bro. I just knew you was going with your boy Alex Smith. I had him on my list as a second start, actually, this week.
Bro, the only reason I'm not going with Alex Smith is because he's throwing for yardage, but he's not throwing for touchdowns. That game against that one game he played last week, he threw for over 300 yards and he didn't have any touchdowns. It was a solid game as far as being in real football, but as far as fantasy football, nah.
Yeah, but see, he's going to the Bengals. Some boys they don't have no tight end. I mean, the cornerbacks, bro, they're struggling. If it's a week to start, they got this might be it.
yeah. If you got Drew Brees and you're looking to go elsewhere, and you don't feel comfortable with who your backup is, this is the part that you probably want to look at: Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith. So, I did have Teddy B. Written down, but they don't even know whether or not he's going to play. So, you know, so we just got to wait on to hear what they say about Teddy Bridgewater. But go ahead, give me your running back you're looking at starting.
This week, I'm starting Damien Harris / Rex Burkhead. I think Louisville's running game is going to get going against the Texans. But Harris being the lead back, he had 55% of snaps last week, 22 carries. So I think he's my starter. If I got him, if I'm trying to decide this week between two or three different running backs based on the matchup, I'm picking Damien Harris.
Actually, man, last week I was totally wrong. I said don't start any New England running backs last week, and they both went crazy last week. So, yeah, I had a bad beat last week, but, all right, bro is picking me up this week saying to start Damien Harris and or Rex Burkhead. I'm actually going Mike Davis, man. I'm going Carolina Mike Davis being that C-Mac is out, going against a suspect Detroit defense, you know he's going to be part of the run and the pass game. Depending on who's the quarterback, they probably going to definitely lean towards the run if it's the backup. But I want to go – I'm going to just ask you about this guy, man. What's your thoughts on Nyheim Hines, man, going against Green Bay?
Bruh, I just don't trust it's
Indianapolis
team,
running back situation.
Yeah, I just can't start any. I don't want to start anybody for for Indianapolis, bro. That's how far I think they fell. I thought the addition of Phillip Rivers was going to boost T.Y. I thought that Taylor was going to take over the running back position, but Nyheim Hines is pushing him. You know, so I don't know what to do about that team. If I was a fan of the New England Colts, I'm struggling right now.
Yeah, man, because I like Hines going against Green Bay, but you just never know what they're going to do at running back, man, because it might be Jordan Wilkins that might go off this week. It might be Jonathan Taylor that go off this week. So you just never know when you're dealing with, like, this running back by committee situation that the Colts got going on. So, if you got Nyheim Hines, you know, I would lean towards starting him because of what he's done the last couple of weeks, but you also got to be cautious. Moving over to wide receiver. Give me a wide receiver.
I'm starting Chase Claypool against the Jaguars. He's the number one target in the red zone in the three receiver set. And Jaguars lost the number one cornerback. T.J. Henderson this week, he went into reserve. So I think Big Ben is going to feast, and I think his receiver is going to be the beneficiaries of that against the Jaguars this week. They're giving up six most fantasy points to wide receivers. So, yeah, start Chase Claypool. Hey, as a matter of fact, I'm a Juju fan, but in fantasy he's been terrible. So, but this week, I will start Juju too.
Yeah, I think this week if you got – Claypool, Juju, or James, or Deontay Johnson, I would look at probably starting all three of them. I would probably have all three of them in my lineup. But I'm going to go with this is going to make my brother smile. I'm going with Antonio Brown, man, versus the Rams, dog. And the reason I say that is because I know that Ramsey is going to be on Evans, and I think this is going to be the game that Godwin, Brown, and Gronk are going to be the ones that's going to be heavily targeted because they're going to have the second and third cornerbacks on them. And do you really want to put your number three cornerback on Antonio Brown in the middle of the field? I think AB eats this week. I think he's going to probably have double-digit targets. I think he's going to have maybe between 60 to 80 yards, and I think he gets on the scoreboard this week. So I'm definitely looking at starting Antonio Brown versus the Rams.
Hey, I like that, bro. I like that because the Rams, statistically, they got the toughest defense against the Pats. But the weapons that the Bucs have, I think, will allow them to seem like that defense is a little more easier to deal with, especially with a constant pass of, you know, being what Brady is. I think the weapons that the Bucs present will cause a problem for them, like they cause a problem for a lot of teams. It may get ugly. I really do, because I don't really particularly like the Rams offense. I'm not sure if that they can deal with the Bucs defense. I'm on flipping and talking about something else going with that. But I like that start though. But But that's also why I think that Scotty may still be in play here, because not too many people could deal with his quickness either. So I think that's all.
Okay. All right, man. Tight end, who definitely going to be in your lineup this week?
I got Logan Thomas versus the doggone Bengals. Your boy. Because last week, your boy Alex Smith spreading that thing around. He hit my man Logan up for six targets, 6 yards.
Check down Trump
up on that. Yeah, well, that's why you won't start this guy. If he ain't throwing a deep, then his quarterback safety valve is that tight end. So I think he's gonna, you know, probably get 6 to 8 catches this week, 6 to 8 targets, shall I say? And if he can get that, you know, that's a successful tight end in today's NFL when you don't have, you know, one of the top tier tight ends like Kelce or Andrews. Or even my man out in Vegas, Waller.
Yeah. All right, man. I know we've been beating up Baltimore's offense, you know, the past couple weeks. I'm going with Mark Andrews, man. Although he really hasn't done anything so far this year, especially based on his draft position, I'm going with Mark Andrews versus Tennessee. You know Tennessee is going to load up to start the run game, and they're going to want Lamar to beat them from the pocket. And normally his number one choice is Mark Andrews. I think I think Tennessee has a solid secondary, but Andrews should be open in the middle of the field. He should be able to find some open spots, you know, going against Tennessee's linebackers. So you got Mark Andrews. This week is the week you should start him with confidence. And, you know, you drafted him for a reason, probably in the 4th or 5th round. So, you know, go ahead and play him this week against Tennessee. And I think this week could be the week that he shows up and balls for you. All right, bro, let's go ahead and finish strong on the starts. Give me a defense you're looking at starting this week.
Who did I pick this week? Oh, yeah, the Browns versus the Eagles. Obvious reason with that one. But I think Baker Mayfield. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Eagles surprised me last week against the Giants. I sure didn't pick them boys to win. I thought the Giants were going to handle that. But the Browns, man, the Browns are not, you know, not the Browns that we knew coming up. And I think Baker Mayfield and that two-headed monster, they got a running back that's going to give the Philly fit. So, but I think the defense, because they're playing Philly, who doesn't have identity right now, they just literally putting little men out there and just running plays. And I think Brown's defense should be able to deal with them easily. And I think the more so that they get ahead in the game, they start coming off with your boy with that defensive end they got down there.
He not playing this week. He tested positive for COVID. Myles Garrett.
What?
Yeah, Myles Garrett not playing this week. He tested positive for COVID today.
I missed that today's line method. But I don't think that'll make a difference with them. They get a lead enough where they just turn all the dogs loose.
Yeah. I'm looking at Miami, man, playing Miami versus Denver, even though they're coming to altitude, you know, and all that good stuff. The weather out here is going to be a little nice. It ain't going to be as cold. So, you know, Drew Lock has definitely been turning the ball over in the last couple of games. Miami has a top 3 scoring defense. And like you said earlier, about Philly, but Denver doesn't have an identity. They don't know what they want to do. When the running game is going good, they'll drop back and throw the ball. When the passing game is going good, then they want to run the ball. So it's like you just don't know what Denver going to do. And being that Miami is so solid on offense, I would definitely start Miami going against our Denver suspect offense. All right, man, we got like a couple minutes left. Give me a sleeper for this week.
Man, my sleeper, I kind of spoke on a little bit. I almost gave it away. I'm going with Taysom Hill this week since they got him start over James. Not so much of where they got him in position that in the league, but I just think if he does what I think he can do, he may go off on the Falcons and give more question to is it time for Drew to retire talk. Because I've always believed he's been the heir apparent, and so he's been groomed. And they don't pay you $16 million just to be the gadget guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my sleeper this week gets stopped. My sleeper this week, we talked about him as our start, Justin Herbert. I think Mike Williams is going to have a good game this week going against the Jets secondary. Of course, he's a deep threat. The Jets basically, normally a bad team, you want to see them play with some heart, you know, play with some fire. But, like, once they get down, it's like teams just turn it on and they just give it up. So, Mike Williams, I say he should definitely have a solid game this week. I'm probably going to say he's going to have about 6 catches for maybe over 100 yards and a touchdown. So, if you have Mike Williams, either run him in as your flex or your RB2, and high confidence in starting him this week going against the Jets. Because I think Herbert's going to bounce back this week after the game he had last week. Even though he didn't play bad, he didn't particularly play that bad against Miami. But look for them to get back on track this week. So me and my bro, you know, we just gave y'all the secret sauce to winning your leagues this week. Actually, I'm going to put our starts out on Twitter. And I'll sit out on Twitter in a little bit. Thank you for listening to the show. Any last words, bro, for the people?
Hey, bro. Hey, good luck this week with me and you once again. And
it seems like we play every other week.
Well, that's because we play a couple leagues together, but I'm here for it.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, man, but it's all good, though. You know, the spirit of competition, man. But, yeah, good luck this week, too, man. You know, you got a chance to beat the number one team. You beat the number one team last week and on the number two team this week, so you got a chance of pulling off the old 1-2.
Yeah, well, you know, truth is I need to win, you know. So this is why I show my medal. It ain't about who I'm playing, honestly. It's about I need to win. Bottom line, I'm 5-5. I got to get in there.
Yeah. You know, some people, I know y'all probably looking at y'all records and y'all probably discouraged, but you got to remember that there's a lot of football to be played. There are injuries that's going to happen. You know, if you can string together 2 wins, you're probably right back in it. So you just got to stay the course and play your players with confidence and just roll with the ebbs and flows of the season. So, tune in to our show. We'll help you as much as possible. If you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter. We love doing this. It's actually been pretty fun. So next week we'll be back probably at our regular time at 6:30. But please listen to us next week and follow us on Twitter. That being said, everybody have a good week, good weekend. Stay safe, wear your mask, social distance. And our city is on lockdown starting today. So, of course, I'm in the house. But everybody take care. God bless. Me and my brother talk to y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.